Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chandravega on the city of Paranjan, Text 27. Kala Kanyodita Vacho Nishamya Yavaneshwaraha Shikishore Deva Guyamsa Sasmitam Tam Abhashata. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After hearing the statement of Kalya Kanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalya Kanya as follows. Please repeat. After hearing the statement of Kalya Kanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalya Kanya as follows. Report on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 5.142, it is said, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabdabritya Yariyache Nachaya Satache Kari Nritya. Actually, the Supreme Controller is the personality of Godhead Krishna, and everyone is his servant. Yavana Raj, the king of the Yavanas, was also a servant of Krishna. Consequently, he wanted to execute the purpose of Krishna through the agency of Kalya Kanya. Although Kalya Kanya means invalidity or old age, Yavana Raj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kalya Kanya everywhere. Thus the same person, by obtaining old age, will become fearful of death. Thus the same person, by obtaining old age, will become fearful of death. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement. But actually, there is no material advancement. Under illusion, people think that material opulence will save them. But although there has been much advancement in material science, the problems of human society, birth, death, old age, and disease, are still unsolved. Nonetheless, foolish scientists are thinking they have advanced materially. When Kalya Kanya, the invalidity of old age, attacks them, they become fearful of death. If they are sane, those who are insane simply do not care for death, nor do they know what is going to happen after death. They are under the wrong impression that after death there is no life, and consequently they act very irresponsibly in this life and enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. People naturally fear impending death. The king of the Yavanas tried to utilize Kalya Kanya for this purpose. Kaya Kanyo Dita Vacho Nishamya Yavaneshwaraha Shikirshore Deva Guyamsa Sasmitam Tamabhashita. After hearing the statement of Kalya Kanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalya Kanya as follows. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhaname Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Siddharna. Here we find a glorification of old age, which we generally don't find very much. Especially in modern society, people don't value old age very much. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshana Darshanam, birth, death, old age, and disease, that these are the impetuses for making spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that without these miseries, there is really no impetus for spiritual advancement. Of course, sometimes people think that with old age comes wisdom. Unfortunately, sometimes old age comes by itself. So we can't guarantee that old age and wisdom go together, But certainly when old age and then disease attack one, one has something to think about. We find in ISKCON, for instance, when people generally join the movement, they're not in the Bali concept of life. They couldn't care less about taking care of their health, about what they eat, when they eat, how much they eat, because they're not the body. They're transcendental. And suddenly, by the time they're 40, they become a body again. And they start taking care of their health. And some devotees take it as their full-time service after the age of 40. Therefore, from the very beginning, we should try to understand the value of trying to become Krishna conscious and at the same time trying to live intelligently in the material world to avoid the unnecessary problems. It is said here that foolish people or mad people, they don't care at all about impending death, nor do they care about where they're going next, because they think at the end of this life everything's done, and therefore it doesn't really matter what I do. If we could interview the trees outside and the grasshoppers and others, we'd probably find out that that was their opinion previously. And of course, now they are not in a position to evaluate their previous activities. But they're probably just as happy as everyone else in the material world, because they have all facility for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. One time Prabhupada was going to a doctor in Los Angeles, and on the way back he passed a movie theater, and it's the sign of the movie theater said, the movie was, "Is There Sex After Death?" That was the movie. And Prabhupada chose to dedicate part of his class that morning to that topic, "Is There Sex After Death?" And Prabhupada said, "I just came from the doctor and there was this movie that said, is there a sex after death? So you should go out and tell the materialists that they don't have to worry. There is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. If they know this, then they won't be fearful of death." But this is only for ordinary persons. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Maharaj Shavdev says, those who are mad, nunam pramatta kurute vikarma, they simply engage in all kinds of sinful activities. Yet indriya priti aprinoti, whatever the senses are dictating, that's what they think is their duty in life to follow. Either the subtle mind, which gets more tricky, or the gross senses, which is more obvious. Yet sadamanya yata atmanoyam, but I think, at least Maharaj Rishabdev was thinking, a sadhu, a person who is somewhat intelligent, yata atmanoyam, asanapi kleshada ashadeha, he won't want to take another birth and suffer the miseries of material life. We may think that the future will be progressive, as Prabhupada mentions here, that somehow or another they've come out with an iPod and therefore life is better, or an iPad now, and that somehow or another they're making progress, and soon they'll come out with a machine, you plug into it, you download yourself into it, and you can live in the machine, in the program forever, in a virtual reality where you're a god. They have different programs for everyone. Well, you have your own virtual reality, and there you're God. Good luck. They think like that in the future, somehow or another, the scientists, they'll be able to make everything better. But actually, they made everything worse, if you look at it objectively. Now the air is polluted, the water is polluted, the food has become degraded, has become without any nutrition. As I mentioned the other day in the class, that they fed rats some breakfast cereal. And the rat, to see what the nutritional value of the breakfast cereal is. And they found out that the rats They didn't eat the breakfast cereal. They ate the box that it came in. So the food has become devaluated. People can't sleep at night. They become so disturbed. Some people don't have time to sleep. They have three jobs in America. So they don't have time to sleep. They sleep during the job. Yeah, there are many jobs. You get a job as a night watchman, and hopefully no one's watching you. So they have to take a pill to go to sleep. They have to take a pill to wake up. And then they have to take a pill to counteract the other pills they've just taken. So people can't sleep. As far as mating goes, they don't know who to mate with. They don't know when to mate or how to mate. They don't know anything. These things have become all mysterious. It's the thing that's emphasized the most in modern society, and no one knows very much about it. Matter of fact, they don't know how to formulate relationships. The children can't even remember who their parents were or how many parents they've had. It's simply they're in some kind of succession, they think. There's a whole line of guidance. I remember when I used to go, when I was distributing books in the 70s or the 80s in the airports, I'd ask ladies with their children, you know, what does your husband do? She said, oh, I don't have a husband. It's like, and that's 90% of the people you meet at the airport, and it's a large percentage. What to speak of how many relationships they've had already. And as far as defending, no one knows how to defend. Even the billionaires are concerned that they feel insecure. They don't feel they have enough money to protect themselves. What to speak of others? So eating, sleeping, mating, defending has become a very difficult activity in modern society. When Prabhupada was here, he asked the mothers of one of his students, when will you get your son married? Stridi, she was probably around 20 years old. And his mother replied, well, if he can afford it, when he can afford it, he can get married. So Prabhupada was surprised. America, he thought the streets were paved with gold before he came. He thought it was the wealthiest country in the world, and people can't afford to get married. But in India, even the poorest person has absolutely no money. He's simply pulling a rickshaw or a tailor. Then he has a wife and children. This supposedly one of the poorest countries in the world, everyone's married. And in the richest country, no one's married. Or not, no one is. But it's difficult to be married and maintain a family. So we may imagine we're so wealthy, we're so advanced, we're so this and that, but it's, from a logic extent, it's just imagination. And we may think there's going to be progress, but actually there is no progress. It's simply punat punas charvata charvanana. In the past, some millions of years ago, people were eating, they were sleeping, they were having sex, and they were defending themselves. And in modern times, people are still eating, sleeping, mating, and defending themselves. And I can predict, as an ISKCON astrologer, I can predict 5 million years from now that people will be eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The color of the food or the dress or the bed may slightly change, but the same activity will go on. There is no past, present, and future. It's different colors and varieties of the same thing over and over again. They may make an iPod where you can go wherever you want and watch the news and see how people are eating, sleeping, mating, defending in Iraq or Afghanistan, but that doesn't mean that it's anything different. And these so-called promises, as we know that they make so many promises, as we know, the politicians, they say so many things, and people are foolish enough to believe them. And we know that the way we can tell when a politician is lying, how can we tell when a politician is lying? Does anyone know? Yeah. Yeah. No, he's moving his lips. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Satchinanda Maharaj Ki Jai. So we may imagine that somehow or another we can trust the material scientists and they're going to save us. They're going to make a better world where there'll be no more birth, death, old age, and disease. Because ultimately that's their promise. Unfortunately, in spite of all material advancement for so many years, that even in Belgium, one of the most advanced countries in the world, at least some people in Belgium think like that, then in spite of all the scientific progress for so many years, they've come out with a statement recently that the death rate is still 100%. They haven't been able to lower it by even a fraction of percentage. Therefore, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was asked by his father in the form of a yaksha, what is the most amazing thing? He didn't mention what he didn't know about, amazing things like, you know, the Leaning Tower pizza or something. So he had another idea of what the most amazing thing was. So he said, Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam shesha stara ichchami kimascharyam atak param. The most amazing thing is that at every moment we can see that so many people are entering into the jaws of death. But those who remain behind, they believe that they're going to live here forever. Even recently, one very prominent author, at the time of his death, he noted that he actually thought, he said, I thought this wouldn't apply to me. Unfortunately, it applies to everyone. But what is the solution here, Kaliya Kanya? He's going, well, he's telling Yavanaraj, he's telling Kanya Kanda to go everywhere. And Kaliya Kanya has certainly gone everywhere. Because we're in Kali Yuga, where old age comes very quickly. Even you can go in certain areas of the world, and you can see by the time people are 10 years old, they've done it, they've seen it, they've heard about it, they've seen it, they've done it, they've experienced everything. And those are the people who are rather slow. In Sweden, for instance, at least 20 years ago, I don't know what it's like now, but in Sweden, they had little rooms for 5-year-old children to go in with their girlfriends, to go into the little rooms and experiment with each other so that they could be experienced. They wouldn't be missing out on anything because 5 years old, they should know everything. So people are thinking like that. Let us use this body, chew it up, and then spit it out. And that's it. But they don't know that there is going to be another life, and that other life will be determined according to what we've done in this lifetime. And that this lifetime is a great opportunity. Therefore, our movement is more or less to give people that opportunity, to inform them that they do have another opportunity. When they asked people in the street, they did a survey, what do you want to be when you come back? So most men wanted to become tigers and things like that. And the ladies wanted to become things like pigeons and other things. One devotee was telling me, I was in Split, and she works, maybe it was in Zagreb actually. Anyhow, her job is Split. Her job is she dresses up for parties, and she's the good fairy, usually. And she paints different children different things, whatever they want to be painted. So the boys always want to be painted as Spider-Man or Batman or things like that. And the girls want to be butterflies or good fairies. So we may think, let me come back as a butterfly or something like that. Because life is better if you're a butterfly, for instance, then you can go wherever you want. You don't have to wait, go through security, or you don't have to worry about buying a ticket. It's everything is nice. You don't have to worry about getting an education. You have a 3-minute explanation of life by your mother, and that's it. You don't get a big sermon every time you fly back at night late or anything like that. You know, life is good. There's, you know, food and everything else is more or less free. You don't have to worry about anything, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. One time I was in the garden with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, and he was talking to another devotee, myself, for some time, and then it was getting dark. So he pointed up to a tree, and he asked me, "Do you see that tree?" I could see the tree. So he said, "Yes." He said, "Do you see the bird in the tree?" So I figured there must be a bird. So I said, "Yes." I couldn't see any bird, but I took Prabhupada's word for it. And he said, that bird, he has no anxiety. He knows tomorrow there'll be a worm, that he has his female bird there, and he has the branch. Everything's taken care of. So he's not worried, so why are you worried? Everything will be taken care of for you also. If we become a bird, or a grasshopper, or a tree, then everything is taken care of. Unfortunately, in human life, everything has become very difficult. Therefore, people think maybe it would be better to become an animal. Life would be more simple. But that's not the purpose of human life. Human life is a great opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And that's what we have to explain to people, that they do have a choice. Just like in some airlines they say, "We know you have a choice." But people don't know they have a choice. They have a choice, they can go back to the spiritual world and live forever in full happiness with only loving relationships with everyone else. Or they can stay here and fight it out with every other living entity, fighting it out for a worm and thinking that life is good because I got the worm. That choice we have to tell people. Of course we should take the choice, we should know about the choice ourselves, and therefore old age also helps the devotees too. It helps everyone become more serious that we're not going to be here forever, that this world is not a big playground where we just play around for so many years and then at the end of life we chant Hare Krishna and go back because I wore a sari or a dhoti once in a while. That's not the way things work. Therefore, even from the beginning of life, Kamara Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatin Iha, that one should try to take to Krishna consciousness even from the very beginning, or as soon as it becomes apparent, as soon as we become aware of its necessity, we should take Krishna consciousness as serious as we can and try to make progress, not to wait for old age when we have no other choice, when we can't do anything else but to surrender to Krishna. "Okay, Krishna, I can't enjoy anymore, I'm surrendered." No, that kind of renunciation won't work very well. Now we have an opportunity, if we chant Hare Krishna, if we become receptive to the holy name by giving up the idea that we are the controllers here, that we are the enjoyers, that we are the saviors, if we give up these misconceptions now and become receptive to the holy name, then we can actually enter into the experience of the transcendental happiness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described when he talked about that param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. That is, it's a snapanam. It's a bath. It's in the nectar of the holy name. It's there already. There's an ocean of bliss. It's just a question of our becoming receptive to it. Just like there's an ocean of radio waves and television waves right now, and none of us, hopefully, are receptive to them. But that doesn't mean that they're not there. It just means that we're not tuned into them because we don't have the mechanism to experience them. Similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, then the whole spiritual world is there, the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, and their bliss, their loving exchanges, are all manifested right there. We just have to tune in to the transcendental station. Prabhupada said that there's a transcendental television in our heart. Unfortunately, presently, it's broken. So the Krishna consciousness movement is a transcendental television repair movement. To repair everyone's television in the heart, and then so they can fine-tune and tune into channel Krishna, channel Hare Krishna, and experience the ocean of transcendental happiness that's found in the holy name. So we can do that ourselves, and we become expert repairmen. We learn from others how to repair our heart, and then we can tell other people how to do it too. And if we do that, we'll be happy, and we'll know actually how to make other people happy too. And it's all very simple, and hopefully Kalyani Kanya will help us make it simpler too. So, thank you very much. Any comments? Question? Yes. All right. Well, we're confident that we're going back to Godhead. And because of that, we become fearless. Prabhupada said, for those who don't know what the goal is, nashta, what is that? That for one who is not in transcendental consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So carefree means we must be peaceful. So for one who has no goal in life, he doesn't know what the goal is, how can he be peaceful? And what to speak if he knew that the end of my life, if he thought at the end of my life I disappear, and that's it. Then how can you be carefree? Every moment you'll be looking around, you know. Wow, there's a germ there, wait a second. Just like Howard Hughes. One time the devotees tried to give him a Bhagavad Gita. We were in Dallas. But Howard, in his mansion, we used to go on morning walks with Prabhupada there. And they pointed out, here's Howard Hughes. We tried to give him a Bhagavad Gita. We couldn't get through the guards. And Prabhupada asked, what would we have told Howard Hughes? One devotee said, if we could have seen him. So one devotee said, dear Howard Hughes, that actually we're nice devotees and we're doing exemplary work, we're trying to help people, you should give us a donation. Another said, chant Hare Krishna, etc. And Prabhupada said, no, if I would have seen him and I would have said, my dear Howard Hughes, you've gotten all your money, you've become a multi-billionaire by oil, but actually the oil belongs to God. So one day at the time of death, God's agents are going to come and take you away for stealing from God and punish you. So how can you be carefree? He was so much in anxiety, in spite of his billions of dollars, that he wouldn't allow anything to enter into his room. He had a little slit on the door of his room, on a window. And anything that went into his room had to go through that little slit, and that little slit irradiated the food and everything else to kill all the bacteria, because he was afraid some bacteria was going to come and kill him. And he was right. So, if we don't know what the goal is, we're not confident of the goal, we can't actually be carefree. Even Lord Brahma has said, he's sitting in meditation. This we learn from Kamsa. He mentions this in the Krishna book. He's sitting in meditation because he's afraid of death, because he has a short life. He only lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. And he's getting old. He's 50 years old now. He's in middle age now. But as we become confident that we're actually spiritual beings and that our destination is going back to the spiritual world, then we become fearless, we become peaceful. Then we can actually be joyful and happy all the time. Other than that, we can try to be happy and joyful, but without that realization, it's not complete, at least. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Gaur.